You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
And I am recording from my back. I am laying in bed in a hotel room in Staines-on-Thames or whatever the fuck. And
Strains-on-Thames.
I just sat for 2 hours, and when I sit for 2 hours, my little back hurts. So now I'm laying, which, by the way, fellas, how's my posture?
Typically good. Sometimes you get weird if you're sitting in a chair.
Oh, if I'm sitting in a chair, I'm like a weird C shape. But
you make it up. You readjust by putting your knees up on the chair like a child, but that it is better for your posture. So
there is truly, oh man, is this something we want to talk about on Maine? I watched something today that was so goddamn upsetting. Have you, all right, have you seen yourself poo?
I mean, yeah, I witness it. I don't watch myself do it on video or anything, but you know.
Like in a mirror?
Yeah, this hotel has a mirror and I like facing the toilet and I.
Yeah, I lock eyes with myself.
For people that don't know, if I have privacy, I go Asian, you know, like I go squat style.
Tom, do you know about this? You heard about this? Yeah, this is Patrick's deep dark secret that we haven't discussed.
Would you like stand like a gargoyle on the toilet?
Yes.
And or do you stand like a skier?
No, like a gargoyle.
Gargoyle.
So you put your full weight on the toilet.
Yes.
And I can't wait till you get a little fatter and you break the toilet doing that.
There's been some incidents, but today the mirror, whatever. It's just
the mirror was the issue today. The mirror was the issue.
Do you see how fucking insane you look?
Yeah. Look, here's all I'm gonna say. It's different than you think. It's different than I thought it was, and I'll leave it at that. But
here's my other thing.
The squatty potty helps. It's cool, but I'm like, look, when I was, I don't know what age.
Turn into Gollum when you got to poop. It's weird.
Well, at like 20, I went to Thailand, and that's just how they do it. And I fell in love with it. I feel so much cleaner, so much like it's just a better way.
Well, better
to
for
go.
You because it's how your body works. But I think like, do they actually stand on the toilet or do they have the holes that are in the ground?
No, yeah, they got the whatever the correct. They do not. they don't.
Right, they're not doing what you like. So when I would like to just clarify when you're talking about Thailand or like doing it quote unquote Asian style, as you mentioned, is not. It's a Kinlan style.
Well, sitting on the toilet seat is a Kinlan style. And you're right. It's not just Asians. Italians do it as well. But
they have them all across Europe. Yeah. I've heard people poop in their own pants.
Southern Europe has a lot of spots like that. But I think that there's actually like in the way that it is described academically, I think there's a reference to Asia because it's popular there. Whatever. The point is, yes, I squat when I shit. But it's healthy. It makes me feel clean and nice. But it's not nice to watch. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And the reason I asked about my posture is because do either of you, Tom, I know the answer is yes. Bob, either of you have nosy neighbors?
Oh, no, sure. no nosy neighbors here for me.
Okay.
I live in an apartment building.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got a neighbor so nosy that I found out that they commented, "What's going on with the guy with the tattoos? He walks that dog like 7 times a day. Doesn't he work?" And the answer is, yeah, motherfucker, I work from home. I'll walk a dog every minute if I want. And then what I thought was interesting was they commented,
I think he's military.
His posture is very straight.
That's good.
That's what I said. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever mistaken me for military my whole life, but if there was on some level on which I could be confused, that would be the.
I get it constantly.
So you get military?
Constantly.
No shit.
Haircut and then the fact that I don't have bad posture. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, we talked about my acquaintance who looks so much like a cop that he's got to preempt conversations and go, I'm not a fucking cop. He doesn't get touchy. He just goes, listen, I know. All right.
Let's shout out our sponsors. Now that we're done with poop talk, shout out to Death Wish Inc.
Boom. Vesuvius.
Shout out to Closed Casket Activities.
The people of Pompeii.
I thought you were going there. Shout out to Run for Cover Records. Herculaneum. Come on. The other side of it.
What are
Herculaneum's on the other side of Pompeii, buddy. Come on.
Herculaneum.
Yeah, you didn't know that one. All right. And shout out to Live a Lie Records.
Goddamn.
Willenium, my favorite Will Smith record. Boom.
Ooh, there we go. Today we're talking about Run for Cover and To Live a Lie. Let's start with Run for Cover Records. Guys, one of my low-key bands I was psyched on in the last few years, The Berries, coming back. New record, High Flying Man. New full-length coming out. Matt Berry, his pseudo-eponymous project, The Berries. LP's coming out. This is available for pre-order now. Yo, this is a cool record. How can I describe it? It's rock. It's a little indie. It's not lo-fi in a shit way. I'm very curious to see where they evolved from the last LP, which I loved here. Not going to drag it out, but I think you should check this band out. The Berries, runforcoverrecords.com. Go check it out. New record's called High Flying Man.
Last one was something that Bob turned me on to. I didn't know anything about prior. And even for my cranky, I don't like things that are that are clean and have any type of pop sensibility. I thought it was excellent. So I have high hopes as well.
Can't wait. Guys, we're going to swing over to Live a Lie. Yo, this one, go to toliveali.com, click in, go to the web store, all that. But also, I hope you follow To Live a Lie on Instagram. Very active. You get a little behind the scenes, which I think is cool. So follow To Live a Lie, one word. The big news that I like there is they are doing a new record for the band Violencia, Tijuana hardcore band. Fast, but absolutely hard too. I think it's coming out either later this year, maybe early next. Political, fast hardcore, but it's you know, for someone who's looking for it, it's got all the blazing speed, and it's certainly hard enough for anyone who would rather be in a TUI pit. Okay, so check that out. Take a look around. To Live a Lie's got a lot of big stuff going on. Been doing a lot of 625 stuff recently, so follow it. And anybody who likes the faster side of hardcore, To Live a Lie should just be a part of your diet. So keep an eye on it. You're gonna hear stuff you love. Thank you, toliveali.com.
Shout out to Tijuana.
Shout out to Tijuana. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
Aside from this back thing, I feel like a million bucks. It's such a joy to speak to you fellas.
Tom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm overjoyed to speak with Pat Kinlan and to Bob, to my buddy Bob.
Oh, appreciate it. Me and Tom did do an episode in your absence last week, PK. Missed you. Eric Wilson, forever thankful for him in our lives, but also on our podcast. He did a great job. Do you know he also attempted to do the noises, the sounds between sponsors?
Oh, that's very intuitive of him.
In your estimation, how well do you think he did? Give it a grade. Score out of 100.
4.5.
So that's is that out of 10?
No.
Out of 100. Okay. 4.5. Oh, he, I would give him
4.5 out of 100.
That's correct.
Man, he's so punishing to Eric. Well, the first thing we're going to do today, we got a few things to go in on today. We got a lot of cleanup. We're going to keep it pretty light. We've got some more topical episodes coming soon. But we wanted to catch you up because you missed out on a little this or that with Eric Wilson. We're going to speed round you through the questions and see where you line up with your worst possible co-host. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So kind of keep it quick. There might be stuff. If you need to pull the e-brake, please feel free. Tom, I want you to feel free to interject too, because you can kind of see I like to see comparisons, differences between opinions.
Sure.
That's part of the reason having Eric on was so fun. He certainly fell outside of my purview in a lot of things. Patrick, Biohazard or Marauder?
Marauder. I know how he would answer that. He's like a Marauder super fan.
He did. He gave some nuance to his answer. Now, how about this one that Tom posed that I thought was a great follow-up? Marauder or Sheer Terror?
That's actually kind of tough.
Answer for you, and then you can answer for him.
Well, for myself, I probably ultimately go Sheer Terror, but does Sheer Terror have like a perfect record? You know,
like a single perfect. Oh, that's a good question. Tom, do you think that? I think Just Can't Hit Enough is very good, but it's not quite perfect to me.
They have more songs spread over. This is my argument, PK, for Biohazard. I mean, I pick Marauder over Biohazard and over Sheer Terror, but I think they both have more songs over the course of their discography than Marauder does. Marauder just happens to have Master Killer, the record.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a tough thing because Master Killer, you can just put on and listen to while you drive and you're not skipping. Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of a real asset. But yeah, I'll probably go Sheer Terror because at their best, I probably like Sheer Terror better. So
yeah,
Sheer Terror for me.
I think Eric fell Marauder. I was an easy Sheer Terror on that as well. This was my follow-up that I was lockstep with Tom on. Marauder, we're considering them a metal hardcore hybrid, you know, not metalcore, but metallic hardcore at least, right?
Sure.
What percentage of their music is metal? If their music is 100%, how much of it is metal? How much of it is hardcore?
Okay. First, I don't think anybody, you know, I'm going to be real grimy about people that could fucking fold me up like a new shirt. I don't know if anybody knows because I don't feel that many people give a chance to records after like the Venom's record. Does that seem fair? Like, could either of you speak to how metallic the last Marauder record was?
Tom definitely could. I can't, obviously. Yeah.
I'm going to say
very, very metal.
Okay. I was going to say 15% is metal, but you know what? I'll push it up to 20. It's a quarter metal.
Even Masco. Like, let's say Masco, since that's what you know.
Okay. Yeah. So
you
Masco.
Think that's only 15% metal?
No. Let's say. Okay. If it's not metal, then we're going to say it's hardcore because then maybe it's literally fucking 46% metal because certainly there's a lot of hardcore in there, but I don't
Tom
think
gave it a Tom, you. Yeah. Tom, I mean, some of the speed it's to me, it's more metal than it is hardcore.
Yeah. Ultimately, you might be right. Maybe it's 51.
I even go higher, but it's that the players in it, the energy with what they did, some of the scenes, not scene like, oh, who's that, but just where they played and who they played with and how they played shows, et cetera, how they operate their band. A lot of that stuff places them there.
And it's also, that record in 1995 as compared to that record in 2022. 2022, oh, right. It sounds like a fucking Youth of Today record compared to what goes on. Yeah. And I think the same songs that are on the Minus demo as compared to the Master Killer record go from like predominantly hardcore.
That's a good point.
To predominantly metal.
Yeah.
just in the playing, the recording, the new vocal, like Jorge, the new, the 27-year-old vocals that Jorge did.
Yeah, I'm with it. So anyways, that was the Marauder sidetrack. Down to Nothing or Backtrack, Patrick?
Oh, that's tough. I know. I really like that last Backtrack record, which I didn't think got enough love. I'll go Backtrack.
Okay. AEW wrestling or WWE wrestling right now?
Oh, listen, I'm going to sound insulting anything I say. Flip a coin.
Yep. SSD or Slapshot?
Slapshot.
Bane or Have Heart?
It's tough. I'm going to go Bane.
Do you think, where's that answer going to be in 10 years? I think that's going to be interesting.
From me or from everybody?
From everyone. Like, will people still talk about Bane and Have Heart in 10 years? Given track record, yes. But
yeah, I believe.
It's just the distinction also, of those bands. You know what I mean? Like, it's
we have to assume that there's going to be a Bane-a-sance at some point, right?
Has to be. And I bet
it'll be from a corner that we don't even suspect. Like, I bet it'll be a different type of kid that is into Bane 10 years
like
from
now. Silverstein doing a Bane cover or something, and it's gonna be like,
I mean,
I could see the tree that branched from hardcore in the Touche kind of way, but then, you know, like Law Dispute, like where is an evolution where those kids then find something like Bane and go, whoa, this is the hardcore I always wanted.
Right? I think like kids that are into stuff like Counterparts, like I think Bane makes a ton of musical sense for them. Even if it's, Bane was around for so long and so much that I think we kind of take for granted how weird a moment that was. I think EVR was such a perfect label for them to take like a relatively, for hardcore at least, accessible sound and kind of reach such a broad cross-section of people. I don't know, Bane is a really interesting band, if for no other reason that they did it for so long that I think people don't even analyze what was happening. You know, it just became like a part of people's lives, like whether you liked Bane or hated Bane, you knew Bane was coming through town, so you didn't even think about it after a while.
Well, right, and for a long career, not musically, they don't have for a 20-year career, they don't have the discography that would normally pair with that. But I think most would say their discography holds up for what they were doing really well. Like most people I know who like Bane, even casually like Bane, it's not like that last record holds up really well. Like longtime fans, like, oh yeah, a couple songs on there that I like as much as anything in the catalog, you know?
Listen, I'm not a Baniac, and I'm just going to say they never, if you enjoy their sound at all, they never put out an embarrassing record.
Right.
If you hate their sound, then obviously all the records are embarrassing. But like, there's nothing in their discography that a fan of theirs would ever have to, you know, kind of conveniently forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Or so, no, you know, that one's okay, but it's not, you know, there's none of that. It's nice. So, the Bane-a-sance, 2025, that's my target.
Interesting.
We'll look for it. Indie rock or pop punk?
I mean, if I have to fucking choose, I'll go indie rock.
Age of Quarrel or any other Cro-Mags recordings?
Any other.
Minor Threat or Agnostic Front?
Minor Threat.
Does Minor Threat matter?
No, yes.
Did you see the Agnostic Front shirts they made for Europe?
I did not.
Tom, please describe them quickly.
They're at Hellfest and the other fest they were playing on the front in the stencil, the very famous AF stencil. Mm-hmm. It says Agnostic Front. You flip the shirt over in that same stencil, Agnostic back.
Pretty good.
How did it take this long? Holy shit.
Pretty good.
I wish George, I was there for Vinny's face to be like, oh, got an idea.
I know. That's 100%. Patrick, jorts or sweatshorts?
Sweatshorts are pretty lit, actually. I'll go them.
I was the only person on team sweatshorts. The Beatles or the Beach Boys?
Fuck. Beach Boys.
Oi or Beatdown?
Beatdown.
Ariana Grande or Dua Lipa?
I say this only because I met her and she was nice. Ariana Grande.
You met Ariana Grande? All right, let's get to that now.
I'm sure I've told this story. It's got a tinge of sadness to it too. So I don't
go for it.
Yeah, there's no way you told us a story.
Okay.
Did you meet her with Mac Miller, not the one we know, and you asked for her number from him? Or
no, that's a good guess. I was at the West Hollywood Whole Foods. I'm going to be talking about a woman right now. I'm very happy with my girlfriend. But I'm going to be talking about Ariana Grande in person. Is an incredibly impressive human being. She's like a very good looking. She's very good looking, and I didn't know who she was. So I'm at the West Hollywood Whole Foods, and there's this very, very attractive woman who, by the way, very, very small too. Like a short sort of person, very attractive person who is with a guy who looks like a motocross dude, but he looks kind of familiar to me.
And
I'm trying to figure out who is this motocross guy? Who's the motocross guy? I'm like, maybe he's a BMX dude. I know his face. I'm trying to think and I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, we're in Hollywood. He must be a celebrity because his partner is really that out of control.
Clearly a celebrity. Yeah.
Good looking. Right. So I'm trying to, and me and this girl, Ariana, I find out later, we pet the same dog at the same time. We exchange a little pleasantry. She seems really nice, nice person. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm eating and they're eating a little outdoor dining area. And eventually I get frustrated because I'm like, who is this guy? And I take a photo and I put it on Instagram or maybe Twitter, whatever. And I said, who is this fella? And everybody responds with, is there something wrong with you? A, that's Mac Miller, but who gives a shit? That's Ariana Grande. I had no idea. And this is okay. Please understand, everybody. Please understand this is not a joke. I didn't know who Ariana Grande was. I'd heard her name a lot, but frankly, her name sounds like I thought she was an adult actress for like the first 2 years I heard that name.
And also, this was some years ago. This was like,
fuck they were dating. Yeah. So
this is she's coming out of Disney Channel time, basically.
So
I had no idea who she was at this time either, I bet.
All right. Thank you. But I don't know a Dua Lipa song, and I'm not sure I know an Ariana Grande song. I'm sure I'd recognize one if I heard it. But the point is that we talked about a dog for 30 seconds and she was nice. She's getting my vote.
All right.
They broke up in 2018, so it wasn't that long ago.
Okay. Listen, Tom, I'm late to the pop game. I don't even know what Dua Lipa is.
I love the fact that you thought he was a motocross guy.
I was convinced. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Next one. Youth of Today or Breakdown?
Breakdown.
Right. Gulch or Drain?
Drain.
Hardcore from 1984 to 1989 or hardcore from 1990 to
95? I'll go 1995. I think my personal interests are currently leaning the first because it was less of what I grew up with. But I guess probably my heart is probably still in that 90s period.
The 90s period is interesting. There's plenty of hardcore. The post-hardcore stuff really pulls in. If we larger circle it, it's a better conversation. Sure. TV or film?
Oh, film.
Williamsburg or Silver Lake?
Silver Lake.
Metallica or Slayer?
Fuck. Flip a coin, Slayer.
Tom, you brought up how good Masters of Puppets is.
Yeah.
And then later I was at a birthday party for an 8-year-old, and the host, their phone just started playing Master of Puppets, and I was like, oh, synchromysticism, here we are.
You start moshing not kids into the pool?
No, but there was like a sharp look immediately, like, whoa, Masters.
All right.
Pokemon or Magic the Gathering, Patrick?
Fuck. I'll say Magic.
Do you remember when both of those things entered the sphere of comic book shops?
Sure.
It was a really weird time. 7 seconds or Gorilla Biscuits?
7 seconds.
EP or LP?
EP.
Yankees or Dodgers?
Yankees.
Trapped Under Ice or Turnstile?
Trapped Under Ice.
Mario or Luigi?
Luigi.
Tie-dye shirt or oversized all-over print shirt?
Tie-dye.
The last question, you don't have to answer. Drug church or self-defense family?
Self-defense family.
There you go. All right. So that you're caught up. Would you have guessed that Eric was a child of Pokemon?
Yeah,
he's like the exact right age for it, right?
I should have guessed that.
I know. It's okay. Well, you were given your answers, which is good. Guys, we've been doing this thing called 80s Mosh Madness.
True.
How's it been feeling on a listening level?
Good.
It's cool. A lot of stuff I zipped past in the U section.
Sure. And has some of it hit you in a more like, wow, okay, yes, this is better than I gave credit to in my head, you know? Not saying you. Right.
I'm not saying I'm returning to a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
But I think all of it, I was like, I'm probably an outlier in this. One thing that didn't strike me as interesting was YDL. Oh, Why Die? I'm sorry.
Why Die? Why Die? Yeah.
Why Die? There is no YDL on this list, I don't think.
No YDL 12 inches till much later. No. You know what's interesting? The Why Die one, I wanted to do a little convo on all this. Why Die definitely didn't hit most people, but the people who it really hit.
Yeah.
We got some converts who really loved it and loved
how
gnarly it was. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's nice.
It was really fun. That was actually one of the best ones. Like so on a personal level, this has been a fun listening experience. I've enjoyed it. It's kind of rekindled a couple and also sparked some new interest. Getting to see how many people are either going through that or hearing new shit for the first time, really cool. Patrick, you were saying this has been a fun exercise.
Fun exercise, but I've been a little disappointed in like there's a couple records that I want to give a new appraisal because they mean a lot to certain people and I respect people's opinions on it and everything. But like, here's a little spoiler because I think this episode is not up yet, but like, it's so weird how little Jerry's Kids hits me. Like it's genuinely weird how like I can't get anything out of it. I've tried and I can't. And I don't know, like shit like that is interesting to me because like when you go and you listen to something with the intention of trying to understand it and trying to pull the best from it, usually you get a good result because you're thinking about the music, you know?
Right.
But there's certain stuff like Vision as well, right? Where
yeah, you've been given a very open ear to Vision for sure.
But I like kind of like can't connect on the level that I want. Like that Blast record was such a blast for me because it that was a record that I previously didn't rate, and
right,
and now I listen to it a lot. You know, so like that was a joy to like, but like I want that experience more. Yeah. And that Why Die record, I'm not going to say I listened to it a lot, but the actual, Not Without a Fight, the maybe the first track on it, maybe second.
Yeah. The first song on it's really good.
Fucking great, man. Like I've been listening to that fucking a lot.
I think that's the problem, is the first song on that record gives such promise to something that I don't think the rest of the record delivers on, but it's because it just goes a different direction.
Yeah.
It's like, the direction I want is for it to go like, okay, we're doing this, like, what if Negative Approach got a little gnarlier and noisier and added a little bit of dirginess to the sound? And yep. they go, cool. But what if they really lean into that dirginess and noisiness and get even more off kilter? It's like, all right.
I'll go one step further. What if at some point they abandon the concept of music? You know, yes. Like, okay, all right.
Well, and I mean, so that's kind of the fun exercise of the whole thing. And I think that experience with Jerry's Kids is a good, like observation point of, you like a good amount of classic Boston hardcore. Tom, I think Jerry's Kids and FU's hit you this time more than you even realized, because you came away from both those being like, yeah, this is really good, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's I always wrote them off as like more like, I don't know what I thought.
Just more like punk side, right?
Yeah, like, and they're obviously not.
Oh, no, well, and FU's for sure, I always put more in the punk side. But I don't know what it is. Like, I think that they're... We talked about this with the, I forget which band brought, or like really kicked this idea up, that it's possible to be an exemplar in a style where it becomes so rote that it's almost like you get written off, even though you were either a pioneer or truly
like the peak, the pinnacle of it. Yeah. Right. You
know what I mean? So like, That's kind of an interesting idea, that like, there's probably stuff that we all enjoy right now that, you know, 10 years from now, people are going to say, oh, come on, everybody does that. Or like, yeah, we get it. It's a, you know, like, because
with the march of time, sometimes a better version of that comes along.
Or right? If you know what, Bob, let's not even hit it with better. That's true. But let's not even hit it with better. Yeah. Let's say something more attuned to your moment that makes more right. sense to your ear.
There we go.
And therefore feels better. Like so, you know, I don't know. There's a couple of those acts in our, that maybe that's why I'm drawn to Blast and Why Die on these, is because that's, to me, those are not things that you can kind of say, I know exactly what this is, you know?
Well, you know, and there's I think you're circling around it, and I'll go right to the point of it. There's a singularity in it, certainly that Wide Eye record. I don't know many bands who've gone for it. I think I like, if I'm going to compare it to something, the De Kreutzen record that we're going to get to, I think is a more palatable version of that to me. I think the Condensed Flesh Void record is a more palatable version of that to me. But to also, they don't have the same rock elements that the Wide Eye record does. Like, the Wide Eye record actually has some, like, yeah, these dudes like cock rock solos, you know what I mean? Like, and they're not afraid to throw that in every once in a while. So I think despite the fact that there's a lot of Black Flag, they pull apart and do it in so their own way that, like, there's a certain singularity to that sound and the production elements, I think. So
I'm going to announce a bias, and I hope our listeners understand that I'm good at this exercise. I can put the bias aside. The Void record, I think, is not more approachable. I think that it has better publicist.
That's going to be the comparison. I think that we should do the like noisiest of the noisy, the least palatable of the most palatable of the least palatable conversation at some point, where we'd get like the records that people arguably say, yo, this is the most difficult record, and find, you know, like, to me, for my money, it's Generic. It's Flipper.
I was just going to say,
the granddaddy.
Yeah. You know? Anybody being honest is just, it's not, nobody enjoys that listen except on the academic level. I don't care what the fuck anybody says. So,
Tom, any, what was, if you had to pick one, well, we're going to go through. So if, as we're going through, think of like, if there's one moment that like really did, I'm doing this basically as a catch up. Cause as opposed to the last time we did Mosh Madness, we've spread this one out a little more, and that's been consciously because we wanted to keep people on the hook. We wanted to keep people engaged. We wanted to keep people in it. And when you're doing something like talking about records from the past 10 years, which is what we did from 2010 till current when we did that, that's stuff that's alive and has a pulse and people want to talk about. With the 80s stuff, well, you know, certainly some of these acts are still around or doing stuff now or doing this or that, whatever, whatever. But to me, I was like, I don't want someone to go, oh, well, and then they started talking about records from 30 years ago. So I stopped listening for 2.5 months, you know, rather, hey, you're going to get it in spurts and check this out. And it also enabled people, I think, to listen to these records a little more wholly. At least that's what it seems like in the results so far. So it's been kind of awesome to see that. And a major appreciation to everybody who's engaging in it and giving it the honest listen, because I know some of this stuff is really for people. Some of it is really not. And some of it is like, oh my God, this is revelatory. Like I can't believe right. I found this record.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
So let's go to results, because that's part of what we're doing here. Bold Speak Out versus Crucifix Dehumanization. 65% went for Crucifix, guys, which not a huge surprise, despite the way me and Tom voted. Tom, did we vote with our hearts and not our heads on that one? I think maybe.
I mean, I think we thought Crucifix was
better. Wait, academically, it was better. Bold?
Yeah,
I guess you did.
Just because bold meant more to me over the course of
I think we both went a little bit more. That Crucifix record is really, really good.
Can I wait? Let me ask you fellas a question.
Yeah,
let me ask you some.
Okay, understand my framing here. Like,
of course.
Try to bear with me. Does Bold fucking suck?
And no, they don't.
Here's
that's the part that that's the part that's hard. But go ahead, please continue.
What I mean is, why does this band that should not inspire the type of dislike
emotional
that Bold gets? Yeah. Why do they inspire such dislike?
The polarity, because they have a kind of a cult of worship, you know, there's a cult following to it. That, like, look, I want to, it's sort of the same kind of cult following that Revelation Records has, except it's so honed in on Bold. It's like some people question if the, because some people hear the Bold record and go, yeah, this is just, it's just a hardcore record. Like, to be honest, there's elements of AF in there. It's a lot more stompy than any of the other Youth Crew records. Like, to me, this is like this is kind of cool in a weird raw way. It's really stripped down, like Nuts and Bolts hardcore, like straightforward in a lot of ways, you know. But because there's such a huge cult behind it, and people who are cult, they like the record, they like the band, but where they like the aesthetics of it, they love the shirt, they love the design of the record. Yo, you guys hear us on this podcast. We nerd out about this stuff, you know? Like, that's an element of the whole thing. But I think for some people, there's almost an aversion to the bold thing because of the fan base, right? And we've talked about this. It happens with lots of bands and lots of fan bases. So bold became kind of the pinnacle of like Varsity Jacket, Youth Crew, Rev 1 to 10, you know, like if I don't fuck with that, then bold sucks. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's the lowest hanging fruit of that Youth Crew.
Okay. Right. And to me, I'll take GB the bold kind of record. Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, GB, supersedes the Youth Crew world, even though they're as much a part of the Youth Crew as any of the anybody, bold dudes, right. You know? Right.
And I love bold, Youth, but like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, please go.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, I love Youth Today more too, but like, you know, is Youth Today that much? It's just different. And Ray Capo is Ray Capo, and Matt from Bold is Matt from Bold.
Right. So Bold got, sometimes they were given the junior varsity status. Sometimes Youth of Today gets more credit because it's like, yeah, the Youth of Today dudes are trying to sound like Antidote and, you know, AF. Like, Bold were doing a version of that. They didn't come to, they weren't trying to sound like Antidote, but like, I hear elements of AF in there. I hear elements of YOT. I hear they're doing shreddy stuff. You know, like, I think the Bold record on a purely like listen to hardcore level should get more love and attention. However, I get it, and I get the repulsion for people who are like, no, I don't like what this did. I don't like what this did to hardcore. And it's more like people don't like what Bold, with nothing to do with the members of the band, but what Bold began to signify, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. You know,
they became the Youth Crew. Because it was a Bold shirt over a fucking hoodie and all that sort of stuff. But
that's right.
If you listen to fucking Looking Back, that is a great hardcore record.
And to me, proto post hardcore.
Yes.
I think Speak Out is a very solid mid-80s like New York hardcore records. And like, there's a part of me that there's a nostalgia, so please feel free to take that as you will. But looking back, the like the 7-inch self-titled 7-inch and all the Looking Back material.
Oh man.
Is proto post hardcore. It's what Tom was doing right before Quicksand. So
I think it's great.
Shout out to our man James, who listens and is in a really good, I won't say who he is, but he's in a really good, I would say almost arty hardcore sort of outfit. And
yes.
And talking to him about Youth Crew, he said, you know, that stuff just made so much more sense to me because it was about wearing colorful shirts on the outside of your sweatshirts. And that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. I said, you know what? I guess whatever takes you to the dance is, you know what I mean? Like, it's fucking fine.
Fuck yeah, man. Like, yeah, get that Miller tag, buddy. I love it.
Wearing colorful shirts on the outside of my sweatshirt.
So the next one was an interesting matchup, and I don't, if you guys can, we're going to do the guessing game. Negative Effects self-titled or Rites of Spring self-titled? Where do you think the votes went?
I'm saying Rites of Spring.
Okay. Patrick?
With our listeners, that's really tough. I don't know. I'll go Negative Approach.
Negative Effects.
Oh, Negative Effects. I'll still go Negative Effects.
What's the percentage, Tom?
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like 55-45.
Okay. Patrick, what would be your guess?
Yeah, 60-40.
Rites of Spring 1, 70-30.
Wow.
A little bit of surprise to me because that negative effects record is very good.
It's awesome, not just, Bob, it's not just that it's good. It's that I didn't think of our listeners as really being Rites of Spring. I don't hear people talk about Rites of Spring anymore at all. Mm. And I just thought that it was like one of those things that was passing into the passé. Do you know what I mean? So that's interesting.
We had
be honest. Go ahead. Anytime emo comes up in 2022 and everyone needs to give that like, but actually.
Yeah. For
sure. It always starts with Rites of Spring.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Like, didn't start with you. Like, they'll be like, you know, 2020, you know, whatever. Or like, they'll talk about Taking Back Sunday and Jimmy Eat World. They're like, emo actually started in 1985. Like, they talk about Rites of Spring first and foremost. And there's only like, think of like that scene. There's such a limited amount of stuff out of that particular time.
Yeah.
Like, Rites of Spring is number two.
And it's also like, I mean, it's, you almost can't find anything better than it still. Do you know? Right. Like,
I know. I so we had a lot of responses that were like, man, I hadn't listened to the Rites of Spring record in a long time, but this is great. Like the like, yeah, this hasn't been something I've gone back to, but wow. You
hey, know? Pat.
So,
yes.
Who has more monthly listeners, Embrace or Rites of Spring?
I'll go Rites of Spring.
You would be correct.
Okay,
good. Really? Rites of Spring has 31,000. Embrace has 25,000.
That tracks for me.
Okay.
Who's got more listens, Moss Icon or Lungfish?
I would hope Lungfish. They got fucking 20 records. Moss Icon has 1.5.
Moss Icon wins.
What?
Wow.
Yep, by like 1,000. But it's still 1,000.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
There you go.
All right. Keep it going.
Moss Icon, year did that record?
Moss Icon out? Is a good one to talk. The 89? 90?
The one with the really long fucking title is a brilliant record that we should talk about sometime.
Yeah, I actually think Moss Icon deserves a little dive. It might even be a little later. It might be 92. I'm trying to remember.
You can tell me.
They only have a complete discography.
Yeah, let's see. The Liburnum Wits End Liberation Flies. 93. Yeah, that's the one. That's right. All right.
God, we will talk about the titles. Track's so good.
Yeah, very, very good record. This one's close to your hearts. Sick of It All, Blood, Sweat, and No Tears, or DYS Brotherhood.
Oh, Sick of It All.
Sick of It All.
70-30, Patrick?
Yeah, I'll go. That's probably safe.
79-21. That Brotherhood record, I think, is really good. I think it's really good.
But then they did that song about the Red Sox, and then it was all over.
Yo,
that hurt.
That song was
crazy.
That song is crazy, where it's like, it almost reminds me of like, I Love LA, where it's like got the parts where it's like, you know, Sixth Street.
We love like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my memory, that DYS song is like hot dogs. Like,
Lands down.
Yeah. I just got douche chills thinking about that. I will say that it's kind of because you can't look back at these things as complete isolated objects, right? You know, and we didn't because we chose records based on like how we feel like, is this their best record? Is comparing it to their later records, the earlier records, whatever. But like, it's almost impossible with Negative Effects. I think about what if that's the only hardcore record Choke did?
Mm.
As such a weird, unique vocalist, I think his vocals get more unique in Slapshot because when the pace comes down, I think his vocals shine a little more.
Yeah.
But you think, what if that's the only record that dude does? It's kind of interesting. And I think there's a lot of people, whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, to me, I really like this Negative Effects record, but I love Step On It. I love it. And it was earlier, and so then Negative Effects was something I had to like really warm to first, and you know, anyways, And that's kind of DYS Brotherhood thinking to that. It's hard to deny some missteps later. It's, you know, certain things can really overcome it, but DYS Brotherhood's a borderline perfect record to me. Keeping it moving. Yeah.
I know we've talked about this. I'm just going to reiterate it for new listeners. Shout out to Choke, who is spending the equivalent of a college education on getting fucking anime tattoos by top level fucking artists all over his goddamn body.
Yeah.
And his head.
I don't know anybody living their fucking truth like this weirdo. He's about,
can't wait for the next song about him.
I mean, I've got how many songs about him? He's about like Clintonite Dem politics and videos of people being injured and in like mountain biking accidents. And
who hurt you Instagram videos. Yeah.
And fucking anime tattoos. And not from the local scratcher, but from
traveling, like
6 month waiting list.
Yeah, like, oh, let's book a Slapshot tour around when these tattoo artists are in Europe. Fantastic.
Straight up, an episode that I want to do is what hardcore vocalist is most honest. That's an episode I want to do, and I think that. Listen, this is respectfully to a dude whose music I fucking love. I don't know if there's anybody in Choke's level of strange. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, this is like every day. It's like a new fucking thing where I'm like, yo, he's going past all in. He's like in a different plane of existence.
It's not close. And I also think his peer group matters. Like, yo, go see these videos of Al Baril. Al Baril is like if you said, draw me a picture of a Bruins fan, like your average Boston Bruins fan, it's just Al Baril. There he is. He's just like, you know, he's wearing a plain sweatshirt and a hat. Yep. That's like vaguely hockey related. Choke compared to his peers. Yo, what? He's just living. So shout out to him.
It's like, if everybody, you gotta follow Choke. It's like he'll be like, yo, John Joseph's a bitch, and next fucking post, here's an anime cat girl like peeking out from behind my ear. This yes. And I know the tattoo artist, like, that's like a fucking foreground tattoo. I fucking love his life, man.
Yo, his Instagram story today. Oh, they're playing the Rebecca Black Friday song in this cafe I'm at in European City here. Hold on. And posts a video with it and says, I didn't think you'd believe me. So here's a video of me sitting in this cafe listening to what was an internet joke song from half a decade ago. Like, what are we talking? What is going on? It's amazing.
An icon.
Salute. Jack on the map. Underdog, The Vanishing Point, or The Faith, Subject to Change? Which takes it?
I'm going Underdog, but 60-40.
Tom?
I'm going Underdog 70-30.
Underdog 54-46.
Wow.
You guys forget, because we did that. That Faith record is better than any of us gave it credit for.
Sure.
Really good. Early in this, you know, I have one tattoo and it's an Underdog tattoo, and I love Vanishing Point is my favorite Underdog record. That Faith record is really, really good. So hope everybody's given some time and attention. We've had some very close matchups. That was one of them. All right, getting up to the next one. We took a little break here. All right. Instead, Bonds of Friendship or Infest Slave.
80-20 Infest.
Infest 75.
Infest 85-50.
Wow.
To the Instead fans out there, a lot of good material out there. as we noted, the 7-inch and the LP after this we think are better. It's just that second Instead LP came out in the 90s. So what can we do? And that Infest record is top of the pops. I expect that to go far in this tournament, actually.
Same.
Descendants Milo Goes to College or Token Entry Jaybird?
80-20.
Descendants 70-30.
80-20. 81-19 is the actual number. Token Entry Jaybird would have made it. I think it would have been an awesome 5-song, maybe 6-song, 12-inch EP, something like that. Just cut, trim it a little bit and just make it just the highlights. Because that's a there's some real tracks from Token Entry.
Absolutely.
I just don't think the whole record bangs the way I'd like it to. Mm-hmm. Let me see this. Yeah, then we talk about Zynga Dong Bone for a while and start that genre. What do you think is Roots Zynga Dong Bone, other than obviously Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Junkyard.
What about Aerosmith?
Aerosmith,
yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean,
they do some lots of silly vocal stuff.
Token Entry's got a little funk to it.
My friend Andy is a gigantic Aerosmith fan. We just found out, we didn't know. He kind of tried to put on that he wasn't. But we were able to identify that they are a primary influence on Guns N' Roses. Like, it's almost undeniable when you actually about the two. It's crazy. So shout out to Andy, the gigantic Aerosmith fan.
Absolutely.
We got it, Andy. We won't hold that against him. Live an Youth Animal Today. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Youth of Today, Break Down the Walls, or Neurosis, Pain of Mind?
Ooh. I'm going to say Youth of Today, but not by as much as you'd think. I'm going to say 65.
YOT 72.
You guys split the difference. 68% to Youth of Today. Neurosis, Pain of Mind was a bit of a revelation to many people. There was a lot of people in the replies who were like, yo, these are both awesome. There was a bunch of people who actually replied, I like Neurosis more overall, but this Youth of Today's record's better. There's a few, again, more than one first-time listener to Neurosis, including folks who were coming from the YOT side who listened and were like, damn, that was actually really good. Because I think for somebody who's so for a Youth of Today fan, they might, if they are given, you know, what is it? Silver and Blood? Through Silver and Blood. That might not scratch an itch for them. But this record might, you know, Pain of Mind's fast. It's punk. It's raging. It's also a lot more hardcore than I think people would have thought, especially given the aesthetic of it, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that was a closer one than the kind of, as aforementioned discussion, adolescent self-titled Wide Eye Black Dust.
You know what? 80%. I don't know. Listen. Adolescence, I feel like, is such a classic, but only to a certain person. And I think a lot of people don't care. So I'm sure there's a big gap, but I bet it's not as insane as I would think. 70.
84% adolescence. So
whoa, you fucking frauds.
I think that Adolescence record might be slightly more universal than you'd think.
Maybe. It was so off my radar as a kid.
I think it's off the radar for a lot of people, but I think when you actually listen to it, it's a very easy listen. I could see somebody who's not in the mood for a California punk record to just kind of push it to the side, but it's a pretty pleasant one. Tom, the highs on that record, pretty high, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, all-time classic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, but I mean, like, very noble, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like, Pat's like, oh, you know, it's only, people love them, but there's only a few amount of people. Then what is Why Die? That's even, like, that's like a 10% of the amount of people that listen to.
No, well, that, yeah, oh, I mean, 10% might be 3%, but what I'm saying is I think I always assume a lot of people are voting with their hearts. So sometimes I think like stuff that where I know that it made a big impact on people as kids, I expect that stuff to win, even if I don't think it should win. So I thought maybe adolescence, maybe that era where everyone listened to it, I think is like very, that's over.
So hey, you want to do a little math on me here, buddy? A little guessing, sure. A little math guessing game?
Yeah, I'd love to.
How many monthly listeners why do I have?
Fucking 5,000.
1,100.
Wow. Yeah.
1,100. How many is Drug Church at?
I don't know. We shrunk up after the initial thing. 70?
So like 200?
123,000.
Okay. Well, not that bad, honestly.
Wonderful. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
How many do you think adolescents have?
Oh, 220?
Yeah, 218,000.
I'm good.
But I mean, I'll put why die versus that. It's like...
No, listen, I get it. I thought that like our listener was not necessarily... Like, okay, here's a question. We talk about Minor Threat all the time. We talk about how Minor Threat is like the fucking, like a pinnacle that is difficult to fucking... Even really as a musician, it's difficult to fucking think, could I do this? Not because it's so fucking complicated, but because it's like, yo, it's just imagine getting it right that early on a fucking genre that then spans another fucking 30 years, 40 years. Yeah. So imagine just getting it right. Right. Crazy. But yeah. we talk all the time. There's a number of our listeners that couldn't give a goddamn and were not introduced to Minor Threat earlier in their, like, it wasn't in their top, it wasn't in their first 10, wasn't in their first 20. So my point is, adolescence was definitely, this record that we're talking about was definitely in a lot of people's first 10. But I think that's over. Do you know what I mean? So I think that there can be a more honest appraisal.
That's going to be the next one, because you got to remember, I think the adolescence hit the Tony Hawk, Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, good point.
Soundtrack audience and gave him a new wind. And like that gave him a new wind, but it's been a long time for that too.
True.
So, you know, like I was thinking about Grand Theft Auto the other day, and like that's like they got to do a rebrand to connect with kids. Like, you know, like what is a Fortnite 8-year-old going to do with Grand Theft Auto? Like, they got to figure out how to, like, it's got to move like 10 times faster.
For sure.
Everybody, my future stepson would like me to give out his gamer tag here, but his mother says
no.
Probably not for the best.
Mm-hmm. What's he play?
He's a Fortnite guy. But kids are weird as fuck about Fortnite. They want to do everything but win.
Oh, yeah, they want to do all the weird stuff. Yeah, all the weird stuff.
Like, the stuff. You know. And I'm like, I keep telling him, try winning. What are we doing? You're on my squad. Win.
All right. Out of Fortnite. Vision in the Blink of an Eye or Warzone, Don't Forget the Struggle, Don't Forget the Streets.
75.
I'm going to say Warzone. I'm going to say it's closer because a lot of Bob's friends listen and they are Vision friends. So I'm going to say 65.
It's 85. And Tom, for every one of my friends who likes Vision, they also love Warzone.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to hope
shout out to
with their heart.
No, shout out to the – there was a – as mentioned, friend Andy, the Aerosmith lover. he fronted a band at the shore called Shore Zone, all Warzone covers.
Incredible.
Really, really good. Really good, actually. So I wish they had just recorded some of it. Why not? Fuck it.
When did that happen? Why doesn't that happen every October?
It should be. It happened a long time ago. Not 20 years ago, but closer to that than now. So, but it should.
Get
it should
him,
happen.
Get Ken's. Make it happen. Come on.
Swagger. We got peeps. All right. DRI Dealing With It or Crumbsuckers Life of Dreams.
Tough.
This is going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's what people thought too.
I say Crumbsuckers 51%.
I say DRI 52%.
DRI 51%.
Ooh.
Wow.
Closest vote by far. enough so that I double checked the Twitter numbers versus our Instagram vote numbers, which have all like tracked about the same. There's been a few percentage different. And I was like, yo, if Crumbsuckers won on Instagram, I'm going to have to tally it out. But DRI won by 54% on that one. But yeah,
I demand really a close.
Yo, really close. I hope there are people who discovered both these. If you love Dead Heat, you need to know both these bands. You need to know both these records.
True.
Like, these are like musts. All right, let's go to the next one. We've only done one more. So is that the last one we did? Yeah, and we haven't done voting on. We didn't do voting on the Blast, the most recent one. So we're going to do that coming up here. So everybody keep tuned for that. I held off because I wanted to kind of, you know, I like to let it marinate a little bit. It's one of the lessons that I learned from last time was if we give the episode a little more room to breathe, people do it. Should we preview what our next set of four records is going to be?
Do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Verbal Assault Trial up against DOA Hardcore 81.
Mm.
Final Conflict Ashes to Ashes.
Okay.
Up against Marginal Man Identity.
Yo, there's a couple proper obscures there. That's kind of interesting.
Yep. Yeah.
I think those are going to be fun ones for sure. I think I'm very
H2O helped Marginal Man become a thing in the 90s.
What song did they cover?
Friend.
That's right. So to me, I really like that Final Conflict LP. I don't know the last time I listened to that DOA record. Like,
anybody being honest can't name the last time they listened to it.
We listened to Marginal Man for one of our Year in Hardcore episodes, yep. I believe. And Verbal Assault's a band I've tried with a lot over the years who, when I listen to them, I'm like, man, this is pretty good. The record that I think it's this one. I think Ian MacKay produces it, and I'm intrigued by it. It's one that sort of like the Faith LP. I'm like, man, I might like this more than I give it credit for, but just haven't sat with it and haven't given it that like, you know, it doesn't have that nostalgic kind of energy. Like it doesn't. It wasn't with me when I was a kid, so it has some breaking through to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right. I mean, guys, anything else that we want to chat on before we get going? I know it's kind of a quick episode, but you're overseas. This is actually our third episode of the session.
Yes.
What else does anything else going on?
We've recorded four times in the last 24 hours.
That's right.
E-Wills.
E-Wills,
yeah. So if anything major happens in the next week, like we... Mm. Sorry, yeah. We recorded it.
Yeah, everybody, we're not
world
we're
traveling.
We're not ignoring.
No, and we will have some cool big news to announce soon, and pretty excited about it. So
I'm going to see a Fail tonight.
Oh yeah, where is that peak? Where is that, Tom?
Knockdown Center with Frank Turner and the Bronx.
Oh, you know what?
Very interesting. All right.
Let me know how the Bronx is because I'm playing shows with them, and let me know how Vail is because. People forget this. In their moment, they were without question one of the best live hardcore acts, and I don't think that part is remembered.
I also think that I think they're wholly unique. They were a hardcore band, but the live experience was very unique to them. You know,
yeah, and they want you want to talk about crossover bands.
Yeah,
yep,
they're the biggest crossover band because it was like. There could be a straight edge kid next to a crusty dude, next to this, next to that. Like they drew everybody. I've seen them twice since they've been back. I saw the two Richmond shows. And you know, there's some tread on, there's some wear on those tires, but they're still fucking those songs, man. They're still fucking great. And they're doing like a week open. Like they're it's the Bronx. But Bob, if you can get up here, I can get you in. It's the Bronx. At 7:15, Avail at 8:15, and then Frank Turner.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the Bronx is main support on the rest of it, but like for the shows with Avail is on as main support. And it's like 50 shows in 50 states. Frank is doing.
Oh, okay.
That's so he'll play like so he's playing Brooklyn tonight, but then he's playing or Brooklyn, Queens, like right on the border. But then he's playing like New Jersey, like a late night show. So he hits New Jersey, and then he's like, he'll do like an afternoon show at like a bar somewhere, acoustic, and then play a giant venue the state next state over. So he hits every.
So like, so he'll be playing
like fucking like North Dakota, like, at a barbecue place, and then, you know, then he'll be in like fucking Iowa playing a 3,000 cap or whatever. You know what I mean? Like whatever it is. Yeah, he's hitting every state in like 50 something days or something crazy.
I like that.
Can I? So
go ahead.
There's a. I wanted to ask a question because it was brought to my attention. Maybe this is old news. There is a porn performer who has. He's just looks like he's from Atlanta. Skinny little dude that's got vegan straight edge across his tummy, right?
Okay. And
I was curious because I was like, he's probably a couple years younger than me, but he just like Tom's going to know exactly what I'm talking about. There's just like an Atlanta or Tallahassee vegan straight edge kid look.
Sure.
And that's what he looks like. So I was just curious if anybody knew who he was. I was going to say, hey, like
had his full name, his address.
I'm just curious what scene he came out of or if he was in any bands. It's just an interesting turn, but, so I just Googled vegan straight edge porn actor while we were sitting here. Cool. And I'm on the images. Apparently my search is on moderate. Here's the images. Davey Havoc shirtless. Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah.
Moby, Chet Hanks, and Kevin Spacey.
Okay. So I did the same search. You said vegan straight edge porn actor?
Yep.
Oh, okay, is this so what we're all going to do? Hold on.
Yeah, on mine is. That's restricted.
I'm on DuckDuckGo at the moment.
Mine is a picture of Ian MacKay.
Okay.
Holding a hat on his chest.
Giant.
My favorite porn performer.
Yep. What's his face? A wrestler, CM Punk. Old photo with long hair, maybe?
Mm.
Big Pepsi tattoo. Militant straight edge. I don't know who that is. Vegan That's, straight edge tattoo on someone's head. Who is this?
I'd say
Tyler the Creator. Here's Tyler the Creator. Then who's this?
Tim from Rise Against.
Tim McElrath. There he is. Yep. And there's is that Davey? Nope. That's Toby Morse. Okay. And there we are. That's it.
Don't turn the safe search off. Is what I just
okay? Learned. Well, not yeah. Apparently not. Two related questions before we kick it. One, when we do Mosh Madness of the '90s, 3 to 5 years, which Avail record goes on?
Fuck, that's tough. To me, it would be 4 a.m. Friday.
4 a.m. Friday, yes.
But to a lot of people, it's Over the James.
Is Over the James in the 90s? Yeah, a lot of people are.
Seven, yes. I think.
Okay. Damn. Is it that early? Oh, my God.
Because then there's Front Porch Stories. Dixie.
You're right. It's 98. You're totally right, Tom. But to me, it's Dixie or 4 a.m. Friday.
4 a.m. Friday is where I got in.
And I think, man, it seems all right. I guess we're in a rare group. That's an audience question. What Avail record is it that's on the Mosh Madness in the '90s? And part two, I've been listening to both the Quicksand reunion LPs recently, the post reunion LPs, should call them, because to be honest, I don't think it's even fair to call them reunion records because they're just fucking very good. Interiors is a much better record than we gave it credit for. And I'm happy that they did Distant Populations because it forced me to go back. There's some true peaks on Interiors. It's not as good as Distant Populations, but it's very good and the heights are very high. It's made me rethink a lot and go, could a band like Avail do a reunion record that would be very good?
Tim never stopped.
Correct.
Walter never stopped.
Correct.
They did other things, but they still have that like fucking, you know, like they're still writing. I wonder, and when we were talking about this on via text,
Yeah.
Did Quicksand, and not that they had a choice in the matter, but if they switched the releases of those two LPs, how much different is the react? Like, if Distant Populations was the reunion record,
much better.
The first one and, out of the gate. Yeah.
Much
right. And then Interiors.
Much better response. Much better response. Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like, it, you know, coming after Manic and Pride, like, what are you going to do? Interiors was bound to lose.
It would, well, and it's the first one in I have to, I love the question because I think Distant Populations would have been received much better. And then Interiors as a follow-up to that would have been seen, would have been felt much better too. And people would have acknowledged it for what it is. I also think it's true that Interiors had to come first because they had to stumble a little bit. They had to find their footing. Sure. I don't think Distant Populations, I think Distant Populations is Walter finding his footing with that process and kind of like, okay, what can Quicksand be now and going through it. And like, I have so much more appreciation for Interiors now than I did previously. What were you going to say, PK?
I think it suffers from a predictability, and I don't mean the songs, which are clever enough. What I mean is everybody expects the act that was not super hard, but hard to do the adult festival music thing coming back. And people are watching for that and they're very critical of it. So when you come back and it's you've been gone a long time, you're now older, people are watching to see if you're going to do something that is soft and right. Too many pedals going on. That's what everybody expects. And even if you deliver the best version of that, people are judgmental, period.
Pat, did you see the Quicksand tour?
Oh, it's with who?
Clutch, and Quicksand, Helmet. And that's the billing. Clutch, Quicksand, Headline. Helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
everybody
in conversation, we were like, wait, is this the world has been inverted?
Helmet would have been the biggest band on that in the 90s.
1995. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Without question.
No doubt.
But if there's a lesson for life, if you stick with something, you will be Clutch, who all own homes off of Clutch.
Same career, members.
Career band. Yep. Career band.
Never changed a member.
Shout out to Clutch. 35 Choco Tacos. It is that's an awesome tour. Awesome tour.
All right, here's a question.
Yes.
Sorry, Pat, before you rush us off, I hear you going, everybody, thanks for listening.
I got a closer, but yeah, go.
Of those three bands, who has the highest monthly listeners on Spotify?
Oh,
I'll go Clutch.
I'm going to go Helmet.
Yes.
Helmet,
953,000 listeners. Clutch, 855, 811. Quicksand is
152,000. Damn.
Hey, man, Unsung is on a good playlist. That means
100% is everybody.
Helmet. Yeah. We can say that Helmet is 800,000 and the fucking one song is 99% of that.
Everybody go put Quicksand Cosmonauts on your playlist. Thank you.